Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today. So let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. Today I have stories and I have scraps and inspiration and a little bit of playtime. So let's get going. I have got Jennifer Cheverini here, and she is on tour for her book, The Giving Quilt. Jennifer is an award-winning author. She is a best-selling author, and her books are much loved by quilters, and I want to find out all about this newest one. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's lovely to be here with you.
You know, I think it's absolutely incredible and amazing for quilters to know that you are on the 20th quilt book in your Elm Creek Quilts novel series. That's amazing.
Oh, well, thank you. I certainly didn't know that it would turn out this way when I first got it started, but I'm very, very glad that it has.
I know 20 books is a lot to comprehend. That's how many years did it take?
Well, let's see. I started writing my first book in 1996, and The Quilter's Apprentice was published in 99. So it the time really has just gone by very quickly. I've been very busy in those years.
Yeah, I'll say you have. That's a lot of books. Let's Jennifer, I really want to find out a little bit about the Giving Quilt, because I think it's a pretty special story that you have in here. And, you know, it's very timely, being that it has a lot to do with Thanksgiving. So tell me a little bit about the book.
Well, in one of my previous novels, one of my Elm Creek quilters, Gretchen, who is a very giving soul, she wants the Elm Creek quilters to work together to give back to their community in a more tangible way. So she proposes to Sylvia Bergstrom Compson, the matriarch and the leader of the Elm Creek quilters, that they create a special session of winter quilt camp. Usually quilt camp at Elm Creek Manor goes from the end of March through Labor Day, but Gretchen proposes that they create a special week where anybody can come to Elm Creek Quilt Camp and they can enjoy residing in that beautiful historic manor and exploring the grounds and just spending lots of fun quilting and sewing with their friends while someone else does all the cooking. And in exchange for that week away from it all of the quilts that the quilters make will go to a worthy cause. And in this case, the cause Gretchen picks is Project Linus. So all of these new characters, among the old favorites that readers get to see again, they all come together for a week of quilting and the sharing of confidences. And Sylvia asks each of them to really reflect upon their reasons for giving, so that they can have a better sense of the great benefit it does not only to the recipients of their gifts, but also to themselves when they use their creative gifts to make their community and to make their world a better place.
Wow. That's, you know, doesn't everybody just want to go to camp?
Oh, from what I hear from readers, they tell me that they would like me to build Elm Creek Manor so that they can get away from it all. And of course, some people want me to build Aloha Quilt Camp from one of my other books. But, you know, that would, I don't think that I really have the qualifications to do it in real life. I can write about it, but I don't think anybody wants to stay at a quilt camp that I would run.
Oh, well, you know, you just never know, do you? You may be in droves coming to Jennifer's quilt camp.
Oh, so, I promise you that will not happen.
I know. So, these books, because they're all written around the quilt theme, are your readers primarily quilters, or have you touched a whole different audience?
I believe that my first readers were certainly quilters because they were probably drawn by the title or by the cover illustration, or if not quilters themselves, they certainly were quilt lovers, people who had an appreciation for quilt, even if they never took up the needle themselves. But I was very fortunate that whoever my first readers were, and I know there are a great many quilters among them, they enjoyed the story enough that they spread the word. Mm-hmm. They told their friends about the book, they recommended it to their reading groups and their book clubs, and that made a big difference because as any beginning writer will tell you, that word of mouth is just absolutely so critical. There's so many books out there, so many other forms of entertainment competing for people's attention that, you know, that recommendation from reader to reader makes all the difference. And I've often told, when I go out on book tour and when I talk to readers, I certainly make a point of letting them know how much I appreciate their loyalty and their support, because without that, I would not be able to fulfill my lifelong dream of being a writer. So I never take that for granted, not one single day when I sit down to write.
It must be really exciting, Jennifer, when you get to go out on this book tour like you're doing right now. What happens when you go on a book tour?
Well, it's not as glamorous as it sounds, although, you know, my publisher certainly does the very best they can to make it as comfortable as possible. The best part is getting to go to these wonderful bookstores and libraries and quilt museums. Oh, my goodness, I had a wonderful event at the Wisconsin Museum of Quilts and Fiber Arts at the beginning of the tour, so that was certainly lovely. So the best part is getting to go to these wonderful places and meet readers. And just to hear about how they can't wait to catch up on their friends. They think of my characters as their friends, and they want the next chapter in their lives. It is challenging to be away from my family and to, you know, be in airplane after airplane. That is the tough part. But, you know, as soon as I walk in there and see all those friendly faces and see the quilts that they bring to show me and hear their stories and their really interesting questions that they have about the books, then for that hour or two that I'm with my readers, then I really enjoy every moment of that. But the traveling does wear me down a little bit.
I can totally relate to that. It's really
sure
the people part.
Yes, the people part, that makes it all worth it. Absolutely.
Do you actually, because I can't even tell if I've been to a book signing. I've been to one where the author just signs, but you're doing more than that. Are you reading from your book?
Oh,
are you taking questions and answers?
Oh, certainly. I think it would be really dull if all I did was sit there and sign books for people. That the fun is when you get to interact and hear their questions, and then of course they have comments for one another too. But what I typically do is when I get there, I'll give a little introduction to the book to let them know what this new one is about, and then I do a reading, just a brief reading, but really most of the part is just a very lively Q&A session. It's a lot of fun hearing what readers want to know about, and that's really the best part, and that's the most fun.
Oh, you know, because I was reading, I think I went maybe on your Facebook page, and people were writing, because you're putting there where you're on tour, and I think some of the people were writing that they come and listen to you, and so it did sound like it was very fun and interactive.
Oh, it certainly is for me. I hope it is for everybody else, too.
Now, you are a quilt maker, so people who read your books, you're coming from the core of your being.
Well, it's certainly something that I'm very passionate about. I've always loved the warmth and coziness and beauty of quilts, and so when I was going to get married, I wanted to have a beautiful heirloom wedding quilt of my very own, but I didn't know any quilters. And I couldn't afford to buy one of those beautiful heirloom wedding quilts because I wanted the genuine thing. I wanted the real thing. So I thought that if I want this beautiful heirloom wedding quilt, I'm going to have to learn how to make it myself. So I bought a booklet called Teach Yourself How to Quilt. And I followed the step-by-step instructions until I could. And so it was something that, I loved. I loved the art form, but it was really the quilting community that had the most appeal for me because, you know, the way quilters share their knowledge so freely, they don't clutch their secrets close to the vest so that nobody else will learn what they know. They share their knowledge. They pool their resources. They work together. They offer one another encouragement and feedback. And, yes, they share fabric and patterns and everything else. And I just thought the warmth in the community was just so wonderful and something that I wish other organizations could emulate, that, you know, they can disagree without rancor and they share their knowledge and confidences and friendship. And that was just so, I just thought that was so wonderful that I wanted to try to capture the spirit of that in my first novel. And I hope that readers feel that I've done justice to not only the traditions and the heritage of quilting, but also the quilting community, because to me, that's that's really the heart and soul of my books, the characters and how they interact as creative people.
I think from what I hear and what I know that you've managed that, Jennifer. It's a good thing.
Oh, good. I sure hope so. That's what I strive for.
Now, what I wanted to do is just touch on, before we have to go on break, just touch on your book that's coming out that you're working on, the Mrs. Lincoln's Dressmaker, because once again, it's something people who make things are going to be very interested in.
Yes, and there is a quilt in the book, too, a very important one, and but I don't want, you know, I'll let readers discover that for themselves. Yes, this is another one of my historical novels, because as my readers know, I do like to kind of jump between different eras and explore not only contemporary characters, but characters in my contemporary characters' past, but this book is outside of the series, and it focuses on the life of a real-life person, Elizabeth Keckley, who was born in 1818 into slavery. She earned her freedom. She bought her freedom and that of her son because of the work of her needle. She was a simply extraordinary dressmaker, and she made her way to Washington, D.C., where in the early part of 1861, she became the dressmaker for the new First Lady, Mary Lincoln. And because she was just such an observer, she was in the White House sewing with Mrs. Lincoln, fitting dresses with her, while some of the most intimate moments of the family life were going on, she was an observer of all these things, and she left behind a memoir that gave just amazing insight into the Lincoln White House. So I used that as the basis for a story of her life beyond her memoir, including those years in the White House and also going beyond them. And I certainly found the research absolutely fascinating and her real life story so compelling that I hope readers will enjoy reading this new novel as much as I enjoyed writing it.
Wow. I really like that. That sounds awesome, Jennifer. You know, we're going to go on break, and it's been really, really wonderful to have you here.
Well, thank you. It's been lovely to chat with you.
I want everybody to visit Jennifer Chevronini at elmcreek.net so you can find out all about her.
Okay, sounds good. I'm also on Facebook, too, if anybody wants to look me up there.
Yes, Facebook. You can get to that from her website, elmcreek.net. So this is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We're going to take a little break, and then I'm going to be back with Pepper Corey.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
Introducing the new Bernina 7 Series machines with the latest sewing and embroidery innovations, including an extended free arm and embroidery area, the Bernina Stitch Regulator, and a world's first, the B9 Hook. Sew quieter, faster, and without interruption. With up to 1,000 stitches per minute and 80% more bobbin thread capacity than our standard bobbins, there's no limit to your creativity. For more information, visit bernina.com/7series. Bernina, made to create.
Welcome back to the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. These collections are hot, hot, hot. Fig Tree is back with a new collection called Tapestry, which weaves together Greek and Moroccan influences for a beautiful result. We're mad for the plaids in the We Woven's Brights collection. Next, pull up an Adirondack chair and enjoy the Ocean View by Paul Brent. And finally, Three Sisters delivers a delicious helping of double chocolat with scrumptious colors of dark chocolate, cherry, caramel, and vanilla bean. Stay tuned for more runway reporting. Visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, Veterans Home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
Win $10,000 cash to stock your stash. Enter today to win the ultimate $10,000 crafting giveaway at allpeoplequilt.com/craft giveaway.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Next up, I have designer, author, lecturer, teacher, Pepper Corey. Pepper has incredible talents. She has been teaching for a little while in the quilt world and teaches probably just about everything that you would want to know. The most exciting part for me is that when I was a fairly new quilter, I had a chance to take a workshop with Pepper. And what I learned in that workshop just stuck with me for life, basically, because Pepper doesn't have any fear of things. And she basically instills in her class, at least what I got from that, is to just try things. And I'm really excited to have her on here to talk a little bit about what's new and what she's been doing. So hi, Pepper.
Hi, Pat.
This is so much fun to have you on the show. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome. I'm really pleased that you asked.
You know, the workshop that I took with you so many years ago was about creating memory quilts. I think it was with Susan McKelvey. You had written a book about putting signatures on quilts. And we did a class about building a creative quilt to add the signatures to. Do you remember those workshops?
I do indeed. Yes, that was the book called The Signature Quilt. And Susan and I co-authored that one.
You know what you taught me in that class, Pepper?
What could I teach you?
You know what you taught me is you basically taught me how to audition fabric.
Oh, yeah, the three piles.
I don't even remember exactly how you did it, but what stuck with me is that you need to try out your fabric, and you don't have to use what you first try out. You need to keep going until you find the piece that really speaks to you. That's what stuck with me all those years.
That's great. I'm glad to hear that.
Now, one of the things that you're doing a lot of, and you've probably done this all your life, is you've worked with scraps. And I thought it would be really fun to talk about scrap quilting and different things that you like to do with scraps. Are you an organized scrap quilter?
Well, to some extent. I more or less organize my fabrics. Mm-hmm. By color only.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know about organizing my scraps. I mean, when things are down to a sliver, they're too small to use and too small to keep.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll box them up, or I'll call a friend who does miniature quilts, or I'll go and burn them in the backyard. I don't know. there is a point at which it's silly, and because I do have a lot of fabric, I have to make some choices. But I must admit, there are some scraps in my stash that are 20 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Fabric before its time.
Yes, yes. So when you get ready to do a scrap quilt, how do you approach, you know, do you have a design in mind? Or is it just, do you have so many scraps or you just do it for fun?
I think the design's everything. Mm-hmm. And if you have a good design, you could make a quilt in reds and blues or greens and browns or whatever. So I think the design is important. And I'm sorry that a lot of people get hung up on the fabric, you know, thinking, oh, I've run out of this fabric. I can't complete this quilt. And they get really frantic about that. And my philosophy has been, if the design is good, you can make it in just about everything. Mm-hmm. So if you run out of a red, let's say you want red at a certain place in your quilt, and it comes up time and time again, red, why not make that red with a capital R, any red? And all of a sudden, you've added a lot of richness and complexity to the look of your quilt without disturbing the plan. You know, let's say it was a red and blue quilt. Well, who's to say you couldn't use 300 blues and 300 reds in there? It would still be a red and blue quilt. So the design to me is everything. Fabric comes and goes. It runs out.
Mm-hmm, it does.
You don't have enough, or you have far too many, too much of something, and you look at it and go, why did I buy that? Mm-hmm. The design is important. And sometimes a simple design actually is better for quilts than something very complex.
You know, I think that's true. I think the design is very important. I like the fact that you promote using a lot of different shades of red. I think that that's incredible.
Well, it's really helpful for someone who has ADD. And I think a lot of us do get bored if we have to work with the same fabrics time and time again. My idea of purgatory would be making the same blocks like 60 times.
Yeah.
With the same fabrics in the same place on the block. I mean, I'd just jump off a bridge if I had to do that. So working scrap style is real important for me to keep interested in making the quilt and seeing it through to the end. I think otherwise I'd probably get bored and drop out of the project.
You know, that I think I would too. You know, I even have a trouble with just two color quilts, but that's maybe just me. Now you're teaching a workshop on Craftsy online, so that's pretty cool. How do you like it?
I love it. They were very easy to work with. The filming was amazing. This essentially a TV crew pulled in and set up shop in my studio for about a week. And they were very, very professional. It all looks casual on screen. You don't realize, you know, it just took time after time to get it right, to say it right, so that it looked effortless. So I was really pleased. And I think that they've got online learning right. I've had people write to me, where's the DVD? Where's the book? But here's the fact, you don't need the DVD or the book. Mm-hmm. If you want to purchase a Craftsy class, the class is always yours. You pay for it once, and they're reasonable. They're reasonable, very reasonable. Right. And it's stored in the cloud, which is a computer concept.
It's on the Internet.
On the Internet, and it doesn't have to take up room on the hard drive of your computer. Mm-hmm. And so you can check in anytime you want with it.
And you chat to your students on there, right?
I do. I do. That's neat, too. They can ask me questions. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, I get an email from Craftsy that says, tink, you've got a question. If it doesn't come through, I still check my Craftsy mailbox every 3 to 4 days and check in and talk with my students. It's really neat. And every once in a while, I meet someone who's bought my Craftsy class, and they turn around and go, I know you. You're my Craftsy teacher. And that's really cool.
Ah, so, you know, When the class is going on, how many people are on there at a time, or you don't really know?
I have no idea. I know that thousands of people have bought the video.
Yeah. And, oh, that's good.
Yeah, and it's great in that they can be interactive with each other. They can post pictures and comment, blah, 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 back and forth, you know, a little chat group within themselves. Or they can make video notes so that they can come back to a place in the video. They can stop and start anytime they want. It's been a great experience.
Because people can also hire you to come and teach. You teach in-person classes. And, you know, this. Speaking about scraps, one of the things you and I talked about the other day was that one of the blocks that you like to play with is a pineapple block. And you do it what I would call like the traditional way. What is that?
Well, even beyond tradition, I'd call it old school. I actually found an antique pineapple block, and I took it apart. And by antique, I mean 1880s. I mean really, really old.
Wow.
Realized that when they made that type of quilt back then, they didn't cut these little separate strips and parallelograms and sew them together. That it's actually a manner of overlapping the strips and just getting the angle right. And so I teach a three-hour class called 19th Century Pineapple, and I teach people how to mark a backing block and then just lay down strips and fold at the right angle, and there you go. So it's not a matter of cutting or rulers or anything precise.
I love it. I love it. So you were just at the trade show, Pepper?
Yeah.
And you have a couple of new exciting things out there. Tell me about them.
Well, one exciting thing that people will start to get to look at is quilt shop owners will be shown in January samples from a new line I've done for Studio E Fabrics. And it's called Town and Country Taupe Inspired Basics.
Yay.
And it's very soft shades of gray, taupe, navy, greens, and reds. I love that palette. It's not reproduction antique American stuff. And some of the patterns are quite urban and, you know, man-made and geometric, which I like very much. But,
I like that.
Yeah. The other thing is that I introduced with Quilting Creations, they are quilt stencil manufacturers, a set of stencils for crazy quilters. Normally, we think of crazy quilting as being very complex and laying on patches. And when people do crazy quilting, they can take forever trying to decide what fabric goes next. So I designed 8 different stencils, which have the crazy quilt patches cut into them and also the numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on, that tell you the order in which to lay down the fabrics. So you could trace that on either a backing block of fabric or you could trace it onto paper, and you could sew it by machine and then tear the paper away just to help people get started, you know?
Yeah. Another place for those great scraps.
I hope so. I like the idea of taking a crazy quilt block, a pattern, and just sort of picking up around you after you're through sewing a project.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, that stuff is all over the floor. And if you can pick up enough of it, you know, let's say 8 different scraps or something, and you can make a block in a short amount of time, then you can put that block away. And pretty soon you begin to accumulate blocks sort of painlessly, you know.
Pepper, this has been so much fun to have you on to talk about scraps.
Thank you. Would you would your readers like to know about those crazy quilt stencils?
Yep, we have about 15 seconds.
Okay, there's a toll-free number, 877-219-9899. That's Quilting Creations. And for $38.40... and the shipping is free, you can get all 8 patterns. This is for listeners of your podcast only, Pat.
Wow. Thanks, Pepper. We'll see you again soon.
Here, Pat.
Okay. That's Pepper Corey at peppercorey.com. We'll be right back.
Win free stuff. Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
We're back at the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. It's a great show, folks. Don't forget to mind your P's and Q's with Applejack, an alphabet-themed collection by Tim and Beck. Next, we're taking a journey to a whimsical land filled with cute critters, flowers, and sweet confections with Cherry on Top by Keiki. Hallelujah! The muted reds, navies, and creams of Old Glory Gatherings by Primitive Gatherings brings a nostalgic feel to the runway. And now, something for the men in your life. Trails End combines the beauty of fall leaves and wildlife. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
10 colored fabric pens. 1 trusted embroidery machine. 1 DesignWorks software suite. 5 perfectly cut flowers. 250 glittering crystals. 1 dress as colorful as my imagination. Introducing the new DesignWorks software suite from Bernina. Includes cutwork for all the shapes that your creativity can imagine, paintwork for all the designs you can picture, and crystal work. Easily add sparkle to your creations. For more information, visit your Bernina dealer. Bernina, made to create.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm here, your host, Pat Sloan, with C&T authors Carol Jones and Bobby Finley. They're back again to talk about their newest book that they've collaborated on. This book is called Fresh Perspectives, and I think it's an exciting book because they have taken antique designs and shown you how they work through looking at those and creating a fresher, newer version, and their fabric selections and all that good stuff. So we're going to have them on here to tell us all about it. Hi, Bobby. Hi, Carol.
Hi. Hi, Pat.
It's really good to have you back.
Thank you.
It's good to be here. Thanks so much for inviting us.
So, Bobby, tell me, how did this particular book, Fresh Perspectives, start?
Well, when we our previous book was called A Tile Quilt Revival, Reinventing a Forgotten Form. And that's something Carol and I kind of like to do, is reinvent. So we came up with the idea of going to a museum collection and reinventing some of their quilts.
And the collection that you chose, Carol, you went to the International Quilt Study Center Museum in Lincoln, Nebraska. Why did you choose their facility?
Well, it's a fabulous place. It really is. For anyone who hasn't been there, it's worth the pilgrimage. It was actually founded in 1997 when Robert and Artis James gave their collection more than 1,000 quilts, a really fabulous collection, to the International Quilt Study Center and Museum. That was the founding. And since then, there was a great fundraising. They built a new building, and they moved into the new building in 2008. And other wonderful collectors have started giving their collections to the IQSD&M. One is Jonathan Holstein, who, of course, had the famous show that sparked so much interest a few decades back, and the Robert and Helen Cargo collection also has gone there, among many others that you also would know. So now that museum houses over 3,500 quilts, and they do a really good job of, they've created an online database where you can go and you can browse through thousands of quilts just to your heart's content and be so inspired by those. And so that's why we chose it. I live in Lawrence, Kansas, so Lincoln is very handy for me. But even for those who don't live in the heartland, it's a great place and really worth a visit.
I was wondering whether one of you was closer to the museum.
I am.
But I've been there several times.
Oh, well, Bobby, you know, I've been there once, and it was definitely the pilgrimage Carol mentioned. It was. I can't wait to go back again. So, Bobby, tell me a little bit about the flow of the book. How does it start? What are we going to learn in it?
Well, there's the flow of the book. Carol, could you help me? There's quite a few projects from fairly simple ones. There's several nine patches and through to some more complicated things for more advanced quilters. And there's a little bit of applique and also some very freeform sort of quilting, too, freeform cutting.
Yeah, the idea that we really were working from is we chose a number of classic quilts from the International Quilt Study Center and Museum's collections, and we made contemporary interpretations of them. And some that we did, so there are 18 projects in the book, and some, like Bobby said, are very simple, very straightforward, others are more advanced quilters. We tried to include a real range of techniques and construction methods in them and look, very different looks. But the idea of the book really is to learn the design process by looking at classic quilts and then being inspired by those and making contemporary interpretations. So in some cases, we really adhered pretty closely to the classic pattern. But in others, we went quite far afield and really encouraged our readers to be very inspired by the classic quilts and to take a great leap and off on their own with those.
You know, one of the quilts in the book is one of the may even be the first quilt. It's called Happy Houses. And I liked how, you know, you showed the antique, and then your version used a lot of very bold colors, but you really kept very similar in format.
Yes, yes. I made that quilt. This is Bobby.
Ah, yay!
We kind of split up. We ended up making about the same amount of quilts each, and then several of them we worked on together. But this is actually the first quilt I made for the book. And I happen to really love house quilts, so this was a natural choice for me. But I love this, the antique quilt. It had some very nice, it had the, like, two nice chimneys on it, and the definition with the roof line, and the side of the house, and the way they were all kind of floating with fabric around them.
Right. I like that you interpreted, Bobby, taking the sort of the antique quilt had a printed fabric, and you reinterpreted that.
Yes, the setting.
Right, the alternate block. Yeah.
Yeah, the alternate block. Yeah, it was a stripe, so I kind of did three pieces of fabric to suggest a stripe. And then I got to use all these wonderful bold fabrics.
Right. I like the idea that, you know, that you simulated the stripe. I think that's the way people could do interpretation. You make it your own.
Right, right. And to tell you the truth, I started just do one piece of fabric, but it didn't work. It was too much. So it was a natural almost, but it was. And I'm really happy with the way it turned out, because it does suggest that striped fabric.
Yeah. Now, Carol, did you guys work back and forth? Did you show each other the designs as you went, as you collaborated?
We did. And actually, we got together and got to actually sit next to each other and quilt for several weeks during this process. And one of the quilts that we worked on together is called Nine Patch Rhythms. Mm-hmm. And it's one where we gave it quite a different look from the original, even though the pattern itself is very, very similar. The block itself is very, very similar. But we had a wonderful time working on that one together, because we looked at the original. We talked about what we loved about the design of the original, what we could learn from it, how we could enhance it, how we could make it our own. And then we just took off from there.
I think that's the most amazing part, is how you interpreted a quilt that looks very, very traditional, and then often, you know, it's not really that much different. It's what you picked with your fabrics.
Well, some of it is the fabric. That's true. And, you know, we're so blessed, because we've got all these wonderful contemporary fabrics to work with. But also, it's a matter of really studying the classic design and understanding what it is that appeals to us from that classic design, what it is that makes it work, where the rhythms come from, where the movement comes from, and then working all that into the contemporary interpretation of it.
Can you talk about the one called Pansy Medallion that's in the book? Because your interpretation is quite fun, and it's different than the original in a lot of ways.
You know, that's we all the time when we were planning this book and working on it, we always referred to this one as our pièce de résistance. Because the classic quilt that we looked at when we were working on this is such a beautiful quilt. It's a medallion quilt from the second quarter of the 19th century. It's quite an old quilt, and it has lots and lots of very, very beautiful needlework on it. It has broderie purse, it has reverse applique, it has really beautiful piecing, and that's an extraordinary quilt. The classic one is, we love that quilt, but we wanted to really do something very, very different from it. So I'll let Bobby give you her version of what we did.
Oh, dear. Well, we realized that there was a whole lot of things there, I think, that would be very difficult for us to do, and for to ask other people to do if we were going to have it for a pattern. So we simplified. Carol, actually, Carol should be talking about this because she was the one who came up with this design for the center that certainly suggests the original quilt, but is much it's all piecing and much easier piecing. Carol.
It is that we simplified the star. We really simplified the construction methods. And to, instead of the reverse applique, we sort of suggested those with something that's sort of like a Burgoyne surrounded. And we chose wonderful batik background for these and just exploded the whole thing with color. And then we did use a border of broderie purse in which we used some wonderful vases filled with pansies. Bobby and I are both pansy fans, and so we were delighted with that choice too. And they just really brought color and warmth and a wonderful structure to it that had been in the original quilt, and we were delighted to include in our 21st century interpretation of it.
And did you fussy cut the pansies as well?
No, that was one. It was a print with that wonderful vase and all of those mm-hmm. flowers right there. So all I had to do was cut out the vase and the flower, the whole vase and the flowers. The bouquet was all there.
Oh my gosh! Well, then that's very much like the original would have been done, cutting the vase and the flowers and everything all out of the fabric itself, printed on there.
Right, right. So, yes, when we saw that fabric, we thought, that's it.
That's it. Perfect.
Yes.
So, before we go, I want to tell people where they can visit you, BobbyFinleyTileQuilts.com and CarolGillumJones.blogspot.com. They're both blogspot.com. What is the one thing you would like people to take away from your book? Maybe, Bobby, you can give me one thing first.
Well, we had so much fun doing this that we hope that other people will be inspired to look at old quilts. And I mean, we hope they'll buy our book and read how to do it, of course. But to look at old quilts and be inspired by them and make their own interpretations of them, reinvent them.
Right. And Carol?
We really felt like building on fine antique designs allows a contemporary quilt maker to develop her own means of expression. And that's what we hope everyone does through this book.
Thank you so much, Bobby and Carol.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Check the book. C&T Fresh Perspectives. We'll be right back after the break with Victoria Fidley-Wolf.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
The Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show is about to start. First up, the exotic fabrics of Cusco by Kate Spain and Chant, with rich fuchsia, indigo, and orchid. Do you hear that? It's the ocean breezes coming from the Seascapes collection by Death Strain. It's no mystery. You'll love the Get a Clue with Nancy Drew line. Hearts and flowers and houndstooth, oh my! Kissing Booth by Vasic Gray brings romance to the runway. Stay tuned for more runway reporting. Visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Introducing the new Bernina 7 Series machines with the latest sewing and embroidery innovations, including an extended free arm and embroidery area, the Bernina Stitch Regulator, and a world's first, the B9 Hook. Sew quieter, faster, and without interruption. With up to 1,000 stitches per minute and 80% more bobbin thread capacity than our standard bobbins, there's no limit to your creativity. For more information, visit Bernina.com/7Series. Bernina, made to create.
Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Babylock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
To Find a quilt shop near you that carries the latest issues of Quilt Sampler and Quilts & More magazines. Go to allpeoplequilt.com and click on Find a Shop.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. In this last segment of the show today, I want to do a little kickoff to what you're going to hear in the next two shows coming up. I was at the trade show in Houston, Texas, and the next two shows have interviews that I did with designers and authors while in Houston. But today I thought I would kick off that whole event by having a brand new author, a first-time author, on to tell you a little bit about what it was like to be at the trade show now that it's over and she's been there. So I've asked Victoria Findlay Wolf of Bumble Beans to join me. Her first book, 15 Minutes of Play with C&T, is just coming out very, very soon. And so, Victoria, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Pat?
I am great. I am just so excited for your new book. Congratulations.
Hey, thank you so much. You were actually a big part of it down in Houston, weren't you?
Oh, yes, I was Vanna.
You helped me so much. You were one of my quilt holder uppers.
Yes, I was the cheerleading squad. So how did it feel to see your book and hold it for the first time, your first book?
Well, that was just the icing on the cake. It was just like the coolest thing to, you know, about a week or so ago, I actually got the very first copy in the mail and, you know, taking out of the package and checking it out. And it was just a complete full circle moment. And the thing that I thought was really interesting was when I got to Houston and we were about to do the book signing at C&T, it still kind of hadn't really sunk in that it's done and now it's coming out. Mm-hmm. Until they plopped a big old box beside me on the chair and cut that big carton of 36 books that are in a case or whatever it is and start pulling them out. And I was like, oh my God, this is it. And people are standing in line and I get to sign them and hand them out. And it was very interesting. It was great.
Yeah, and it's a long time from when you deliver your last bits to the publisher before the book is done. Was it like a year and a half?
Yeah, the whole process, they tell you that it generally takes about 2 years. From the minute you start thinking about it and putting it together and sending out your proposal and getting the okay with the proposal, and then when you start on the track of actually doing your deadlines, I think for me that took about 5 months. And then once that all of that finally left my hands, it's a whole nother year. It's actually almost to the day that book is released.
Wow. So when you went to the show, there's a lot of things that new authors do and existing authors. But as a new author, you got to do a presentation to whoever could come to. They call them schoolhouses. And there you talked about your quilt and what inspired the different quilts. And you brought a gigantic load of quilts with you.
Yeah, well, I figured that was the best way to show what's in the book. There are over 80 quilts in the book, so I definitely had a good selection to choose from. Half of those are mine, half of those are people who've been playing along on my 15-minute site, and, you know, which is great because it just provides so many different views of how you can start making something from nothing and turn it into something that's completely unique to you.
I loved being able to be there and hear you tell your story about, like starting even off about talking about your grandmother's quilts.
Right. Well, that was the main thing. When I started the 15 Minutes Play website itself, it was purely that I was getting a lot of emails from people saying, how the heck do you get so much done? Every time we're coming to the blog, you got new quilts on the wall. And I do work quickly, but the thing I started to realize when I was thinking about my process and writing that book was about, you know, how I learned to quilt. And I think that was kind of a key to, you know, the way that I work, because I didn't learn to quilt by using quilt patterns. Mm-hmm. I learned from watching my grandmother quilt, who was a crazy quilter, and, you know, she would sit with a big sheet in her lap with a big bag of double knit scraps at her side, and she would just be picking two or three pieces out at a time and laying them on the sheet, and she was making decisions very quickly about colors and patterns and just sort of letting the quilt grow organically. And that's really when I started making quilts. I mean, that's what I went to because that was what I knew, and those were the quilts that I slept under growing up on the farm in Minnesota, you know. So those are the things that I was looking at most of my childhood. motherhood. And when I started sewing, doing that for myself and became a new mother and not having any time, the only time I had was about 15 minutes to leave for myself creatively so I could sit and I could sew those scraps together and make something from nothing and just kind of let those pile up and percolate and let me think about them during the day. And when I was coming back to the sewing machine each day, I was finding that I was staying in my creative process. So I wasn't having to sort of jumpstart myself again to get into my creative process. I was already kind of in it while I was thinking about it all day and deciding what I could do next and looking at what I made and finding colors that I liked in there and letting all of those little discoveries as I was making things lead me in designing whatever this quilt was going to be.
That's what I love about your quilts, Victoria, is that they do have a lot of interest, and I think your ability to sort of work quickly really is a benefit.
Yeah, well, I think by doing that, it builds your confidence itself as a quilter because you're having to make decisions very quickly. And I don't personally think there's any mistakes that we can make. I think we always learn from our mistakes. So I often find that if you do find that you think you have a mistake, that's a great place right there to look at and help you break out of the box to figure, okay, now how am I going to make that work? Mm-hmm. You know, we all have colors that we like, that we're drawn to. You know, there's always something in whatever you've made that you can find to lead you to the next step.
Now, when you were at Houston at the trade show part, you also went and did some demos in some of the other booths. What was going on there?
I did some demos at Simplicity. I was showing a bunch of the quilts that I've done in the book using a lot of their templates, like how can you use made fabric? How can you use different kinds of templates to make, you know, sort of fussy cutting out of from what you've made, mm-hmm. which gives an interesting look to your quilts, whether you're using a traditional pattern or if you're using a modern pattern. You know, using all those little bits always are going to make your quilts look much more interesting. That was great fun. There's so many tools out there that we can try. So one of the things I like to do when I'm making quilts is that every time I do start a new quilt, I'm looking for what's the new template or new trick or new technique. So that every time I'm starting a quilt, I'm adding a new tool to my toolbox when I'm making my creative palette. You know, always trying to find something new to put into it so that I'm not making the same quilt twice because that continues to push me creatively. And one of the other booths I was in was Newcastle because I'm happy to say that in 2013 I've got fabric coming out. So that I'm super excited about. That's been something was hoping to do.
I know. I'm excited too. I can't wait to see it. That's going to be so much fun. Yeah. So this is with Newcastle. So you have fabric in Spring Market. Will they show it?
Yeah. Spring Market. It'll be ordering already. So.
Okay. Now
something we have to hold tight on. I don't have any sneak peeks of that yet.
No. I know. And it's like, oh, I can't wait.
Yep. You just wait. Sit on your
hands. When we were in Houston, Victoria, the hurricane was coming along the East Coast, and both of you and I live on the East Coast. You live in Manhattan, and I live right outside Washington, D.C. It was a bit scary, wasn't it?
It was scary. You know, we had those screens up all over in Houston. Every time you turned around, there was a TV screen showing how bad it was in New York and what was coming, and, you know, all of us were pretty much just sitting there, you know, completely feeling helpless. We can't get home, and a lot of the people were not able to get flights out, so it was rather unnerving, but I had a call right away from Basics, my partner group where I ran my quilt drive for Bumble Beans Basics. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we sort of dove right in Houston already trying to figure out how we're going to get quilts and get to these people as quickly as we can.
And you so actually went out on your Facebook page and told people you're going to, you know, try to collect, you know, get people thinking about, because in your area, my area didn't do so badly. We had power outages, but in your area, a lot of people have lost their homes.
Yeah, they completely have. The Far Rockaways, Staten Island, Lower Manhattan, New Jersey, you know, parts of Connecticut. I mean, it was just such a crazy storm. And, you know, right now I'm sitting in my car because I haven't even been, it's been an hour and a half in the car for me to get 3 miles and I haven't been able to get home. So I'm just sitting here. Because the traffic,
there's
so many streets and stuff closed, and it's just been crazy trying to get around. Subways are still down. But I had just had an email as I was sitting here waiting. One of the things that we're doing, Basics is now called Akashi Network. So one of the things I'm working with Akashi Network is that they are picking up sort of what the city of New York cannot do. So they're working with the Department of Homeless Services. Akashi has medical units that go out to all of these areas local to us and are bringing medical supplies out to those communities. And one of the things that we're finding is that as people are coming in for medical care, they're asking for clothes and they're asking for quilts. So one of the things we're going to be doing as we're getting quilts in, we're already getting boxes of quilts in now, is that we're going to be putting quilts on those trucks themselves so that as people are coming in, they're getting a quilt as they're going out. Another thing we're trying to do is we're able to work with the Department of Homeless Services and reach out to all of the different shelters in the area to be able to get quilts to those families that are coming in because, you know, they don't have anything. They had to be evacuated. They've left everything behind. Mm. Anything that they, you know, thought they could save, they can't. They had to throw everything out. So they're
coming
in. You've
asked people to send not only quilts because, of course, we're quilters, but blankets, you know, whatever.
Blankets, quilts. At this point, we need, you know, it's nice to have something handmade. I just handed out to 100 families on Thursday at the first shelter, and they were very grateful, and they thank everybody for putting in that effort to do that. But, you know, in this case that we need things right away, we happily accept store-bought quilts as well.
Right. And
right now it's just
people can find out about where to send things from going to your main site.
Yeah, our site is bumblebeansbasics.com and all of the information is on the site. We ask that you label the quilts on the back so that the people who are receiving the quilts could send you a thank you note. Mm-hmm. If you could also deliver your, when you ship them, to ship them with delivery confirmation, so you have that. Right now, our main goal is to get the quilts in and prepare them as we can ship them out as quickly as we can on the medical trucks into the shelters.
Yeah. Well, I am really grateful that you have such a great organization that you're already associated with who is doing this and channeling things directly where they need to go.
Right, and we're constantly looking for other sources as well to get these quilts out to. I mean, we have quite a wide network already, and that was why I was so happy when Akashi Network called and said, you know, let's get on this. We have some quilts left over here from our other drive, let's hand these out right now. So that's what we did.
Well, Victoria, thanks for being on. I'd really like you to have you come on again sometime and talk a little bit more detail about your book. Would you do that?
Oh, absolutely. Anytime, Pat. Thanks.
Oh, good. This has been Talk with Victoria Finley Wolf, and you can visit her site, bumblebeansinc.com, to get to all her things. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Come back next week.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques.